I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Boulder Valley School District Board of Education for Tuesday, January 20th, 2026. Board members may attend and participate in board meetings remotely or in person in accordance with BVSD policy BMEA and state law. Laura, can you please call the roll?
Booker?
Here.
Chavez?
Here.
Medler?
Here.
Quinlan Weda?
Here.
Rajpal?
Here.
Temu Wadding?
Here.
Unger?
Here.
Thank you.
I'd like to remind everybody that the mission of the Boulder Valley School District is to create challenging, meaningful, and engaging learning opportunities so that all children thrive and are prepared for successful, civically engaged lives. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We are glad to have you observe and participate in our meetings. At this time, is there a motion to approve this morning's agenda? Moved by Jason, seconded by Jorge. Laura, can you please call the roll?
Booker?
Here.
Yay or nay, please.
Oh.
We're taking, thank you.
Yay, meetings notes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chavez?
Yes.
Medler?
Yes.
Quinlan Weda?
Yes.
Rajpal?
Yes.
Temu Wadding?
Yes.
Unger?
Yes.
Motion passes.
We will now begin our work session for today. Starting with board prioritization and planning, I'll turn it over to Dr. Anderson to introduce our guest, Heather Bergman.
Thank you, Board President Rajpal. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all. Excited for our spring 2026 board prioritization. With us, as always, is our master facilitator, Heather Bergman, who is going to help us continue what I think is a model way in which boards come together through effective governance to be very clear on what we're working on and what we hope to accomplish over the course of the next semester. Heather, I'll just kind of run through.
Sure.
And then I'll turn it over to you.
Got it.
Heather will do a board check-in. We're going to review the agenda items and we'll build out the board. And we won't be finalizing the fall 2025 priorities. I apologize. This is definitely spring 2026. So I apologize for that error in the deck. Just as a grounding activity, looking at our vision and our mission, I believe that these things, both the vision and mission, are fully embedded in our Altogether for All Students strategic plan and drive our work, along with our values. And we strive to hold up to the values of BVSD each and every day. And board members' recent iterations of our strategic plan show you some different outcomes that we're looking for. But as a reminder, our original long-term outcomes, and this makes me just really proud, students benefiting from challenging and relevant educational opportunities, reducing disparities in achievement, and every student graduates empowered with the skills necessary for postgraduate success was our original roadmap. And even as recent as last week with our highest graduation rate in recent memory, and with all of the results and achievements that we achieved last year, I could say with confidence that we are doing all three. So I don't know that I built in a check-in slide for you. Do you want to check in first and then we can kind of talk through this?
Go ahead and do a quick check-in. New friends, returning friends. We usually spend this time. I like to hear a little bit from you about what's on your mind. In particular, what feels good about what you did last semester. And for those of you who are new and everyone, what are you looking forward to doing in the semester ahead? And to my two new friends, if you wanted to tell me two sentences about you, that might be great just for a little bit of context. Anyone want to go first? Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we are moving forward to understand declining enrollment and getting a roadmap on that. And as we prioritize today, I very much hope that we can keep our eye on declining enrollment and the work we have there. And one of the thoughts that's come up for me as I look at this survey is I'm hoping that some of the items on the survey could be abbreviated, maybe.
Okay, we'll talk more about that in a bit. Thanks, Elania. Next, yep, Jason.
Similar feelings. I'm glad to have done some of the work we started last, or not just started, but continued on around decline enrollment. And I don't know, I'm not, like, looking forward to it, but I think it's necessary work and important. And so hope we can keep that going. I also, I'm really looking forward to, I know it's come up a lot, but the thing that's come up first in our prioritization is just kind of AI technology. I kind of view that as a umbrella for a lot of different issues that have come up over the last year, including the need to better understand kind of what we're doing around AI, technology use, things that came up during our cell phone debate a year ago around outside laptops and iPads. And I think just getting a better sense and handle on our overall technology policy. So looking forward to that. And I also agree with Lilania. I think there's a few of these things that I'm hoping as we discuss more, are probably maybe more news and notes or kind of internal updates than necessarily need to be, in my view, full board topics. So, but excited to be here. Thanks for being here, Heather, and glad to have our two new members with us.
Okay, thanks. Next. Oh, we're going to round out this side.
Let's get this side finished.
All right, I love it.
Hi, Heather. I'm Deanne Pooker, so one of the newbies, and I think you should know that I am a retired teacher first. From BBSD. Mm, wow. So I have a little bit of an insight into what it's like to be on the front line mm-hmm. of doing this work.
Great.
Okay. And let's see. I am interested in making sure that we prioritize things that we really think will help with things like declining enrollment. Mm. One of those is the AI strategy and how we're using instructional technology, which I don't think the teachers are getting enough guidance in how to use it. And we're not using it as effectively as, say our neighboring district, St. Vrain. So I think that's a reason we could be losing students. I also would say one of the items that's ended up near the bottom here, the Safe Schools Coalition, which is to advocate for LGBTQIA students, might tie in also with that declining enrollment because the students are exiting the system in order to find safety. So I'd like to see how a more holistic look at that will help with our declining enrollment. It's certainly not going to solve it, but they might be helpful. I also hang around with a lot of 12 and 13-year-old young men who their life surrounds their e-bike. And that might be something that we talk about in order to help families deal with the issues that are coming up around those e-bikes and making sure students are safe at school.
Thanks so much, Dan. It's a pleasure to meet you. All right. Eeny, meeny, miny. Who's Momo? Alex, ready?
I support everything everyone has said so far. I do think, I appreciate that the technology stuff is ranked high. I would do so as well. And to reiterate both points people have raised, I think some of these things could, in addition to news and notes, I'm not sure just writing it in there is good enough. One of the things I've seen other boards do is, you know, two-on-ones or one-on-ones. So have someone on the board who's particularly interested in an issue, have a longer detailed discussion with staff and get that update. And then they and the staff can provide that update back to the board without the board taking a lot of time for it. It's just another strategy to have a mix of a deep dive for those that are interested in something, but still have it before the board as a discussion or news items. That's just one thing to do for the lower prioritized things. And then I'd suggest that I believe strongly that we are going to make progress on taking action to address declining enrollment. And I also believe strongly that a lot of our discussion will be about, so what are we doing with the schools that are there? And I really believe that it's incumbent on us to explore the students that have left, those that are considering leaving, and how to get to retain everybody that we have by making sure the programming and services are what we need. And I agree that not just our LGBTQ, but our neurodiverse and our immigrant populations are all in the category, and the people who want more technology are all on that list. I was just looking at state data, and over the last 5 years, the state lost about 7.2% of its students. And of those 7.2, 2.5 are now in homeschool enrichment programs and online schools funded by the state. So for every two students who just disappear, there's another student that is still being publicly funded that's not in a district brick and mortar school. So, I mean, I think we need to understand who we're losing, who we could lose, and make our services, make it so that everybody wants to stay here, that wants to. It's not like we have to force them, but I do believe we can programmatically think about that stuff as part of the declining enrollment issue. So I don't want to give short shrift to the things that address the families that we might lose.
Thanks, Alex.
Anatemu Aring. I am a mother of a kindergartner at Emerald Elementary School. I'm also the CEO of Corazon Printing. It's the only Latina-owned unionized print shop in the state. I'm also a Colorado Commissioner on Higher Education. And some of the things that are super important for me are, I've worked for the past 15 years on pro-immigration policy. And so for me, the supporting our immigrant population is super important to me. And I do have a lot of connections, a lot of coalition building that I've done over the past decade and a half to really do on the ground work. And it's something that I want to talk about as we talk through this, as well as from being a commissioner on higher education, I am talking to the department on what we can be doing to really automate and systemize how our high school students get into higher education or other pathways to get into successful careers. And so for me, those are the two biggest things that I want to talk through.
Thanks, Ellen. Pleasure to meet you. Hi, Jorge.
Good morning, Heather. Thank you for being here. Great discussion so far to start this morning. As I look at the long list of things that are on there, one, I'm glad the declining enrollment discussion has moved forward over this past year and a half or so, and we're looking to take action. We've done a lot of policy work, which I think has been really important in terms of setting us up to be able to make decisions down the line as we're moving forward. And for me, in terms of priorities, you know, I think BVSD is a great district. Our numbers look great, but I really want to make sure we keep our focus on the UIP and our strategic plan, in particular addressing the disparities for kind of, you know, the vulnerable populations that have been kind of voiced so far. I think that's a really important point right now as we think about what the next 3 to 5 years will look like. And we've laid the groundwork to make the movement, and now we've kind of have to start make sure we don't get distracted on that part of it. And so two really big, meaty topics that can take a lot of attention.
Great. Thanks, Jorge.
Thanks.
Nicole.
For me, I am really proud of the way that this board has been able to stay doggedly focused on the strategic plan. As a district, this district has never performed better. Our graduation rates are the highest they've ever been. Our achievement and growth scores are doing well. We have populations that we still need to be really strategic around supporting. So I think that work has set us up extremely well for the work that I see taking the vast majority of our time, which is declining enrollment moving forward. I think this board is going to be tested in ways it has never been. I look forward to us being a very united force, a united board on making what is going to be really challenging decisions, and it's going to be challenging community engagement. And with that being really, I'm hopeful that we can understand the degree of time that that will take, both during our board calendar and outside, and also whether we want to have that built into our actual board calendar so we are all participating to the maximum degree possible in the community engagement sessions, and also doing our best to recognize that that there is potential for it to be tumultuous and have big feelings from our community. And so as we prioritize other work, like how are we maybe not choosing things that are also going to feel like a really big flashpoint, because we are going to, in addition to working together really well with the district and our schools, we need to be really working well with our community during this time of significant change. So that's where I'm. And then part of that, continuing again the strategic plan, our kids are doing well because of that work, and so we cannot lose sight of that as we take on declining enrollment.
Thanks, Nicole. And just for folks, anyone who might be watching, several board members have referred to our priorities. So you'll recall this list comes from items that you all have raised over the course of the last semester since last we were together. Laura tracks those for you. And then board members were invited to force rank these in order of priority to you individually. And so we all have this list in order of priority. And part of our conversation where we go to next is Rob talks us through how these things, you know, might already be fitting in work the staff is already doing, and then where we might be able to fit new ideas. Lainey, a question before we jump in?
Previously, I remember we try to fit everything that has come up, and I'm hopeful that that's not what we're trying to do here, or we're trying to take some of these things and move them into news and notes or Alex's idea or something. I guess I'm once again just throwing my hat in the ring one more time about declining enrollment, AI strategy, the things that are big.
Before Rob goes, I will, from my experience as a board member, some years I have observed everything gets fit in, and some years I have observed not everything gets fit in. Mm-hmm. So saying that is, this is like my fifth go round. It depends. And then I will turn it over to Rob to share thoughts about maybe today, but just level setting that it's not always the case.
And before Rob jumps in, I'll just add that part of when these things go really well is when the executive, in this case Rob, gives us a really clear message about how much work each item is and that they're not actually equivalent, right? So in some years we've had lots of ideas that were relatively sort of small lifts for staff, or again sort of were aligned with things that they were already doing. This year it sounds like maybe we have a couple of really big things, and that should influence how this shakes out.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. So no pressure, Rob, but manage our expectations, darling.
I appreciate the perspective, and I appreciate that. I think all the topics that are on this list are worthy topics. And, I think that as I go through, I want to just really be really clear on the amount of staff, superintendent, school board work that is associated with all of these topics. And there are things that, as the work and as the semester kind of progresses, that may be addressed in different ways. I'm always going to try to address all of the things that you feel are important, but I will not be able to do all the things on this list this semester. No matter how much I would like to do that, I won't be able to do it. Just to kind of set the stage, because we're not starting with a clean slate. We have a lot of work that had already been prioritized, that had already been involved in goals, and some of it's just the regular rhythm of the school district. The declining enrollment work will be the big chunk of emphasis of both community interest and school board focus and district time. In preparing for our presentation next week, where I will lay out the engagement plan, I already have, I think, 40 to 50 meetings on my calendar addressed to declining enrollment, because I think that that's what it's going to take to actually listen to people and hear them out and figure out what's the best way to move forward with this. BVEA negotiations, board members who have been through this, you know and understand the amount of staff time that takes. And as a reminder, we're still wrapping up our MOU around the salary schedule that I have been, next week will be my 12th multi-hour meeting, trying to listen, hear, solve a really complicated problem. I wish I could tell you that this was going to be an easy legislative session where we wouldn't have to get that involved. And board members, those that have been on the board, you know and understand when push comes to shove, that I have to get involved and I have to go down to the Capitol and I have to, and we all as a collective have to engage our delegation. And there are going to be budget concerns. The latest budget proposal that has come out that was presented to the JBC is it would take away the specific ownership tax that comes directly to the school district, $6.5 to $7 million, which makes everything harder if that goes away. Negotiations harder, everything. I think the academic calendar process is well on the way. I appreciate your guidance in that in our last meeting. A new district UIP with a very engaged district accountability committee is an important priority for us and something that we want to get right. And then we also have other priorities that we'll determine today, because I do think that there are some things on this list that we need to lean in on that are also going to take a lot of time. As a reminder, we don't dial our staff up and down based on the work, right? Our staff, our senior staff, our district staff, if anything, has been declining over time, with the exception of some of the one-time funding that we've stood up to support our strategic plan, our biggest priority. And those aren't permanent positions. As a reminder to the public, those are positions that will sunset once our full implementation of the strategic plan is complete. So as we think, yes,
real quick before you go on, for people who don't have all the year acronyms memorized, new district UIP, please.
It's a unified improvement plan.
Thank you.
State requirement. Thank you for that clarification. Organize the prioritization, and board members, I've put our draft board in front of us. We're gonna have to probably pull that together so I can walk you through it, so you won't be able to see that screen. You'll only be able to see the board here in a moment, but that's okay. These slides are very similar. There is one adjustment. Previously prioritized board policy IGA was something that we talked about previously, said we were going to get to. Then I also inadvertently included that in our survey, so I apologize for that. So that's not in the previously prioritized. That's actually going to be in the new prioritized. But we, as you'll see, we have some things required by board policy, enrollment trends, CBOC, budget process, DAC planning session, LRAC. As you could see, very heavy operations focus. Our operations team is going to be under a significant amount of strain as we take on declining enrollment and some of these other big projects. And this was the list for the public. Board members, you have this list in front of you of the prioritization topics and items. Again, worthy topics. Really appreciate that these have been brought forward, and I do not believe that we'll be able to address a good chunk of these in our work session or information items. However, we can look at some other ways as I organize with staff on how to address some of these other things.
Can you just tell us what IGA and HK are? Sorry, my acronyms.
KH is fundraising. IGA is instructional. I'm looking at Nicole.
Basic instructional.
Right, yeah.
Yes, that's fair. And that isn't in our policy progress that we would be doing this semester anyway, IG.
I'll get through here. Once I get to the board, I'll show you where I have tentatively placed things and kind of answer how that would work.
Can I just clarify for new board members and board members that may have not participated in a prioritization process where not everything has gotten through? If we can't place everything, if we don't come up with a plan, it will remain on the list for the next prioritization meeting. So if we can't fit it in, right, it does not fall off of any list. It will remain on the list for future. I just wanted to clarify
it
that.
It carries point. Over. That's
it
right.
Carries mm-hmm. over.
So with that, I'm going to pull the, I feel like a game show host here. Everybody, welcome to Wheel of Fortune.
This is the fun part where Rob gets up and does his board dance.
There you go. This is the board dance. I like that.
it turns into a teacher.
Here we go. Okay. Sorry, Laura. Would you prefer this microphone? Yes. Can you place this microphone over back? Okay, everybody. How we doing? All right. I'm going to grab our list, and I will share with you and walk you through the tentative board as it is today. I'm going to push it forward a little bit more.
And Rob, you'll tell us what all the colors mean for friends who haven't.
I will tell you.
Of course, you will.
So for those who haven't gone through this before, I start by listening to staff, looking at the prioritization that the board has done, looking at the time, looking at our previous commitments, looking at what we want to tackle, and then I lay out the semester. And then we have conversations in terms of timing. If something doesn't make the list, what are we going to do? And just really work together to figure this out. So I'll go date by date, color by color, so everybody understands what we're doing. So we're here, prioritization. So we're doing a good job. We followed our semester plan already, which is just having this meeting and having the meeting on the 13th. As a reminder, on the 27th, we have breakfast with legislators at the Capitol. And that is at 7:30 in Denver. We have that meeting down at the Capitol, so we have a higher likelihood of getting folks from our delegation there to at least touch base, to understand what are our big priorities heading into session, and to just reestablish relationships with new legislators, with new board members. It's a great opportunity for everybody to get together and connect. So we'll be doing that on the 27th. Now that evening, we have a board meeting. So we'll have two meetings that day. We have currently DAC planning, which is something that happens every semester. We have DAC budget recommendations as a presentation, and then our declining enrollment community engagement plan. And then Kathleen has done a wonderful job of sorting out what policies that we have in the queue that today are scheduled for those meetings. Now, I will say, with all of the things that happen, with all the feedback that we get on policies, this isn't locked in. There's a bit of an ebb and flow of what can come forward, what can't come forward, with the idea 20 policies to review each semester. Once I'm done with the board, I'll turn the board around and show you the progress that you all as a governance team have made in reviewing policy. Very impressive. Lots of policies that we've been able to retire, lots of policies that we've reviewed, and still work to do, as always. On February 10th, today, we have planned our annual enrollment update. Board members, you'll recall that this is the process we established with LRAC, where we identify, based on our new projections, which you've seen from Glenn, we identify schools that are in the advisory phase or the engagement phase based on number of rounds and capacity. That is an annual commitment to our community as part of that process. And so that will come on the 10th. Also on the 10th for study, board members, in response to a previous topic last semester around sponsorships, we have a proposal around some new scoreboards that might allow us to generate some, as an improvement to our athletic facilities, and then B, also an opportunity for some long-term revenue streams that can help offset costs. On February 17th, yes.
I have a question and two clarifications.
Yeah.
20 policies per quarter.
Did I say?
Semester.
Yeah, I was wishful thinking.
Yeah. The DAC planning session, and I've spoken to DAC exec about this, really depends on what happens today.
Okay.
Whether, because they have a good chunk of workflow. So if depending on what we prioritize and how they, I just promised them I'd loop back. And if they don't feel like they need to take on any work because they're still wrapping up grading policy and they were working on IGA, they may not have, we may not have to do that. And then just a question as you're continuing to work through this, because open enrollment is on the board prioritization list and we're bound to have that conversation. So I'm just, for myself, wondering, are they different or are they similar? Because we have, like, in our regular cadence, an open enrollment update, but it's also a top four on our, so question there.
Sure. No, I think so. And the topic, as I understand it, and Alex is the one who brought this forward, he spoke to it in his opening comments, was more of a deep dive, not a regular presentation, but looking at the programming based on this past year's open enrollment process. What is the programming that's of interest? What are the new trends that we potentially may be seeing? What, you all know that we have a declining enrollment dashboard. We'll want to make sure that we update that, which, as a reminder, can get into subpopulations of students to tell you who's coming, who's going. There's some different data there. And so I was trying to honor that. And I do have that in the rhythm of the board. And so once we get to that, we can have a discussion about that.
But it is not the February 10th.
No, February 10th is a meeting that we've had every year for the past couple of years. It was a commitment that was that came out of LRAC, which is on an annual basis, we're looking at five-year data trends, and we're letting folks know what will happen in 5 years, where schools will be. As a reminder to our public, we had significant drops in enrollment this past year, the second biggest drop in enrollment since COVID. And so that has accelerated some of the challenge of stuff declining enrollment, hence the board's prioritization of declining enrollment being at the top with our strategic plan addressing declining enrollment. So February 17th, you said we don't have school on the 17th? What's that? If we wanted to, if the board wanted to do, we could have our regular meeting on the 17th and then move our school visits to the 24th. That's an option. Or we can just take away the school visits on the 17th. I think those are the two options we'd have.
With any preference?
My preference would be to take away the school visits, despite my love of them. I think we have so much work to do. For sure, taking it away on the 17th, and if we need May 19th, taking that one away too.
Other thoughts from board members? Cole?
I would say our two newest board members haven't had the opportunity to do school visits yet. And I do think, particularly because it's been a, in the case of a former teacher who hasn't been in our schools for a while, and a significant amount of things have changed, and then a parent of a kindergartner who is new to us and haven't, other than their own school, probably hasn't spent a good deal, I would feel a little reluctant to taking both of them away because there is so much to, you see the work. So I would, for that reason, for having two new board members, I would advocate for at least keeping one. I do like the suggestion at the very least of flip-flopping the 17th and the 24th, and then would be open to other thoughts on that, whether we have school visits. Mm-hmm. Alex?
I'm in favor of keeping the school visits. I think they can be also carefully designed by Rob and the team to show us stuff that is also on our agenda and really deepen our discussion of those items, as well as just having some real time in school. So I'm in favor of switching it to the 24th and keeping the May. I wouldn't get rid of both. I really find I may be an exception. I don't have kids in school right now, so I'm not interacting at drop off and pick up and going to as many events as many of the rest of you. So I really super value the visits, and I believe Rob and his team can design them to overlap in the Venn diagram of what we're talking about.
Since Nicole referenced the two new board members, do either of you have a preference one way or the other?
I would really like to go on some school visits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, I need to get out there and see. As you said, a lot of things have changed. So I would love to see, and visit an elementary school and a middle school and mm-hmm. see what that's all about.
And 2 days would be most beneficial, or are you comfortable switching it just to one day given the rest of the work? Or do you care?
Of course, I would like 2 days, but if we need to drop one because of the volume of work, I understand that.
Okay. Anna, how about you?
I do really appreciate doing school visits. It's one of the funnest things as a commissioner to get to visit the schools. So I do want to, and especially being from Broomfield, I'm not really in Boulder mm-hmm. a lot. So I want to go see the schools. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2 days, 1 day. Do you have a
2 days?
Here? 2 days.
Yeah.
You got it. Jason?
I also really appreciate the school days. And I think, as Alex said, I think our last visit when we kind of, when it was structured around the decline enrollment conversation was incredibly valuable mm-hmm. for me personally. Do we have to make a decision on the 1 or 2 days now? Can we see how the calendar looks? I think I appreciate Lelania's comment about how much work we have and also the value of this. And so maybe we can just make that call later.
I would say February is upon us. And so like maybe if you wanted to make a last minute call, it would be the May visit where schools might also be just be doing fun end of year stuff anyway. But I would think like we need to have, we typically do our entire calendar.
Yeah, I don't mean like another day. I mean, like, let's see how, I mean, is there value in a May visit anyway, being like the last mm-hmm. week of school? I don't know that that is like valuable for people at the school level to have us come or even for us seeing. Mm-hmm. So that maybe is a question that that's not as useful, but I'm in favor of the February. My point was like, maybe we see how the calendar is. And if we have so much work, mm-hmm. we can replace the May time, or maybe May just doesn't make sense given it's the end of the year.
Rob, do you have a thought on that from staff? Then I want to give Jorge a chance to have a thought here. A
couple things. We'll be doing elementary school teacher roundtables at all of our elementary schools as part of declining enrollment process. And I will need you all to be attending those. So you will have a chance to be in schools engaging directly with teachers. It won't necessarily lend itself to some of the visits we've done. And so I think there's a couple of options. First option is you flip-flop the 17th and the 24th. I would have to check to see if the budget mid-year analysis would be there on the 17th, if that would be ready, and if it might impact our policy review schedule. You can just take the 17th offline and not have a meeting at all. If we just want to cancel the school visits, or you can move the 24th to the 17th and not have a meeting the 24th. Mm-hmm. I think those are the three options to discuss. I'm okay with all three. I do appreciate the sensitivity to workload, but I also appreciate the opportunity to be in schools with you all, to show you the work, to so we can get a powerful shared understanding of what's happening. And I think that it is something that we do that I don't know many boards and superintendents who do that. And I think it's actually a really great thing. But pleasure of the board, we could do mm-hmm. any of the three options.
Jorge, I want to give you a chance to have an opinion and then we'll go around.
You just addressed some of the questions I had about flipping the two times, right? If it's viable for us to do so, given the timeline. So I'm in favor of doing that. I like the school visits, but also if we are going to be talking to teachers, is there a chance for those to be held as on that day on the 19th? I don't know what the scheduling looks like as you think about the roundtables with teachers at certain places or not, or for us to participate. I like keeping those if that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Elenia and then Alex.
Wondering if Rob, you'd weigh in on the May 19th end of the mm-hmm. school year visits, if those are as beneficial, yeah. you think.
Depending on what you're looking at, I think that when I think about where our district will be in May, in the throes of community engagement, we will have been talking about declining enrollment deeply. That I'm not just not sure where we'll be as a district. I think you could switch the April 21st and May 19th dates, and I could do a strategic plan update on May 19th, and we could do school visits on April 21st. Mm. Did I have a, well,
Nicole. Scheduling issue?
I'm just wondering, we're heading into a new two-year calendar adoption. What is that deadline for the UIP, and does that get us too close to the submission date to have any meaningful input in the UIP? Because that's calendar bound by the state as well, like those deadlines.
I like pop quiz for Rob days where we're like, how much does Rob have memorized?
Because we have to have that approved by when?
So the UIP will have to come for study and action at some point. And typically, the timeline was like August.
That was the old timeline.
And now the timeline's in?
I feel like it's before school.
May? So then are you saying that you'd want the strategic plan update to include the UIP earlier so we could get feedback on that before it goes? So we could do two things. I could add that as an information or a work session item, like an hour, and then we could flip flop these. So you'd get the end of the year strategic plan update, but then work in UIP as a work session or a, because we're going to have to do that. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's not like a choice of where we do that. So
while Rob's writing that, Alex, you wanted to jump in?
This is just another consideration. Again, I'm in favor of figuring out whatever it takes to spend time in school, seeing stuff go on. I do think during the end of the year, there are demonstration things that go on, especially in some of alternative schools. So it's a chance to actually see some of the like end of course capstone-y things, which is also a way to honor our different schools that use that approach more than others.
Yep, go ahead.
But couldn't we be doing that as individual board members, much like we do graduations?
Oh, we can and can and should, but I would just add, I have appreciated staff and Rob's interpretation and helping us understand what we're seeing, which has been valuable to me on all our school visits.
Rob?
Tricky to line that up with a Tuesday morning. That's the tricky part.
Okay. Yep, Nicole.
I'd like to take us back to just focusing on the three options that Rob gave for February. So at least we can figure that out, and then we can continue to look further out to May if that's okay with the board. I'll throw in out proposing flip-flopping the February 24th and 17th. I know we're not really having it's not a voting day, but a thumbs up on like, how are we feeling about that to at least move past February before we consider what's happening later in the calendar?
Board members' comfort? Yep. Yes. Okay.
And if Bill needs to come back with a different budget time or we need to move some policies around, that's totally
There'll
fine.
There'll be some wiggle room on some of those. Okay.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
We have majority of board members supporting that.
Thanks. Thank you for at least letting us get through that one. And then I have a question. Rob.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Do we, as the questions sort of are looming out there around school visits, do we want to figure that out for May right now, or do we want to work through and then loop back and see at the end? What would you think is the best course of action?
To the extent anything we can decide today probably is better. I think if you, for us, for our team, it actually gives our team more time to plan for the strategic plan update. If we move that from April 21st to May 19th. And the planning on school visits is of course, we have to coordinate and understand from you all what we want to see. But the workload on staff preparing for a school visit is absolutely much less than preparing for a strategic plan update with 100 slides that have to be peer reviewed, that have to go through kind of all of our processes. Those presentations, I say they work on those between 20 and 40 hours. So that actually, I think our team probably would prefer that. I just been following the rhythm we've been following, which is school visit, strategic plan update, school visit, and it just happened to fall there. But I think that if we wanted to move the 19th and the 21st, and then if something were to come up, then, you know, we could figure out a way to address that at that point. But knowing and understanding as much as we can coming out of this meeting is going to be helpful for our academics team, who will be, especially our schools team, they're going to be very involved in this declining enrollment discussion process. So will our principals. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be pretty involved.
Jason?
I guess to Nicole's question, I would propose, which is what I think I proposed earlier, is just continue to work through this calendar and maybe punting the question about the second school visit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the list of things we have to go through or your list of things. And so seeing if that still fits, I'm really happy to keep one. I would love to do two, but I think just given this list and that list, that would be my suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, I was gonna, just to keep this moving along. So that sounds like a proposal that Jason has made. Do we want to discuss that or have a thumbs up, thumbs down on that one? Because it would be, I mean, we could flip those as long as we got to the UIP at some point before our deadline. And then thoughts on that, board members, or discussion if Heather wants to lead us around in that.
Alex, did you have a thought before I?
Yeah, just a quick friendly amendment. Speaking of the things that we can attend as individuals, again, not as a parent of a kid in school, I'd be really interested in not just a list of events, but a list of like recommended events from your team where we could see something that we can go to that's actually instructive of the kind of stuff we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that might be a thing where that doesn't take a lot of time to prepare from your folks who know what's going on in the schools. That could provide some good insight to us by just showing up at things.
Great. Just something to make a note of, provide to the board. So what I hear, Jason, you suggesting is let's not decide right now in today's meeting, but we will decide by the end of this meeting what we're doing about this later school visit, but maybe let Rob continue to walk through what else is on the calendar, because there were other exciting things, and then figure out what we want to do with these and decide whether there's time for school visits or not. So unless anyone's opposed, I'd recommend we carry on with that and see what kind of juicy stuff you also have. So thank you.
Thank you for the conversation, everyone. So we did the flip. Thank you, Laura, for helping me out with the magnets. Real-time change here. So then on March 10th, we have our superintendent honor roll, recognizing all of the folks in all of our students and staff that we recognize kind of through the winter months. Board policy IGA. As an information, that's actually probably a work session now that I look at that. We can discuss that policy. And then, of course, we have some other policies there.
Can you pause on that one? So board policy IGA is on the is on our ranking list. So it's already happening on March 10th, so we don't need to consider it on our ranking list. Is that correct? Or is it different?
So typically what we've done, and you can do this one of two ways, is that when the board has prioritized a policy, we pull that out and have more of a deeper work session on it. They're typically deeper, larger policies. And if you're looking at your prioritization list, I've added the top six items to this calendar in a way that I think that I can manage and our team can manage. So everything from board policy IGA up is on this list. Copy. And I think once we have this all squared away, we can talk about other options for the other things that people care about. Do we wait on it? Is there something that we can be doing in the meantime? Is there an executive summary? I think that there's some of these things that I agree with that we can start to move forward that may not rise to the level of a work session or a information session right away.
Got it.
Is that okay? Sorry, I should have probably led with that.
Okay, but, so this board policy IGA item that you just moved up to work session on March
10th,
whatever, great. That answers, Lenny, your question, which was, is that already part of the calendar? And it sounds like you've pre-populated this with those top six items.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
And we'll have DAC. DAC will be done with it by then.
Because this is a work session, like DAC will be done with it by the end of the year. IGA, they're working on those recommendations now. Or they're starting it, they're wrapping up their grading policy recommendations. They will have IGA by the end of the year. But because we go work session, study, you know, we'll see that policy a couple times. So the timing will work out.
Okay, carry on.
March 24th, AI tech update.
I have that as a placeholder. I do think board members in our one-on-ones, I'm going to need to get a little more clarification on what are you looking for from that, right? Obviously, you know, there's been some public comment around doing more with AI, and to the extent, is that a policy? Is that practice? Is that guidelines? I think there's different ways folks have done different ways that folks have done that. And then the tech update, you know, we've had also public comment and board comment around, do we have too much technology? Is there not enough? Like, what's kind of going on there? How do we potentially think about some of the principles in our cell phone policy and extending that to computers and bringing computers from home and all of those other things? And so that's a big old topic. It's going to take some time to figure out, but I don't think we can wait much longer than March to bring it forward, to let folks know what we're thinking about and what we're doing, and then get some board direction if there's things that you feel like that we should be doing that our team hasn't identified. So, but I'm just letting you know that is a lot of work that's cross-departmental, whether it's IT, academics, operations, schools, impacts on schools. Anytime we make decisions around how schools will or will not use things, it changes their work. And as a reminder, I do think schools will be pretty overwhelmed, especially our elementary schools, because again, this semester we will be in, I think, really deep conversation around declining enrollment, which I do believe we're just going to have to spend a lot of time listening around that.
Nicole and Alex.
Yeah, board members, I just wanted to share like guardrails on this one, or getting clarity amongst ourselves to staff, to the public, on what it is we're going to be talking about. When I was at the, just so you know, the DAC meeting, I don't know if I shared, this came up in a polarizing way that resulted in some emails to the board after. Apparently there's like Slack conversations. Like, this one's getting really polarizing. And I just want everybody to understand that will be, depending on how we communicate we're taking this on or what it is, how we're defining that topic and how we approach it, it could get spicy at a time when other things are spicy.
Rob wants to clarify, and then Alex.
The last time we addressed this was 2018. And for those that were involved in the district at the time, we had like little to no filtering on the internet. And we had boardrooms filled with parents upset about what their kids were being able to access on our computers that they didn't want them to access. This was right when I was coming in as superintendent. And so we made an investment in Go Guardian. We made some policy changes. We put together a committee of parents. I mean, it was, you know, this can result in a lot of work. But once we did that, it certainly gave us the guardrails for 8 years, right? And yes, people have strong opinions on technology, and they're not the same.
Right, Alex, and then Anna.
Yeah, I'm. All those things you talk about are why I think we need to have some conversation about it. I mean, I think 2018 to 2026, in terms of the technology that's there through AI and the other things, the impact now on not just what schools do, but how kids learn and think, is like part of crucial to why we're going to lose students who leave because we're not handling it right. So I'm anxious that an update designed to limit the discussion, while it is procedurally, politically, effectively, you know, what I would prefer, is totally inadequate to the task in a time when stuff in the schools is super intense, when the teachers and students are dealing with stuff, and when the technology is changing rapidly while we know it's important. So part of what I'm interested in soon is figuring out the process by which we navigate this over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that we know what our direction is. I don't know what the solutions are, but realizing it's too big to talk about now because we don't have time to talk about something so big is kind of counterintuitive to something that is so big. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal. We need to deal with it. We don't have enough time to deal with it effectively, but it's going to be a big deal for a while. So I'm interested in having a discussion about how we would figure out how to do this. It's not going to be much easier in the declining enrollment world next year when we're actually dealing with the actions of taking action in the mm-hmm. schools. So I don't know when the bandwidth will magically appear to talk about something that could be that impactful. So I'm into figuring out process and structure to deal with it.
Rob wants to clarify, then we have Anna, and it looks like Deanne, you want to get in, and then Elenia.
So a statement and a thought. I do think as we keep our finger on the pulse of our community, this is a conversation folks are expecting us to have, right? I do think through one-on-ones with board members, I can get clarification on what your hopes and desires are for that, which may be different than public comment, which may be different than what some people want this to be. If we want to have a real deep conversation on this, there's two options. In March, you could do a daytime meeting on the 10th or the 24th, as opposed to just a business meeting where we'd have an hour, hour and a half. We could take this as a deep dive topic and spend 3 hours on it if you'd like, knowing and understanding that we're not coming with all the answers and solutions. We can talk about things. We can have some discussion and conversation and clarification. Or you could take your time reserved on the 21st instead of a strategic plan update. We could make that about AI and technology. Mm-hmm. I think there's two choices. I do think based on kind of where this is, that a longer daytime session might be the right venue for us to have a deeper discussion on all the things and better meet the needs of board and better get the clarification from us. Because if we try to squeeze this into a work session before a meeting, it might not work.
Okay. Anna?
I want to go to the St. Brain AI Summit to help understand the things that we don't know. And I guess I just stayed it because I was signing up and then I just didn't know if I should be reaching out in a different way to St. Brain, but that is on my calendar for the 21st of February.
I was going to say
okay. So I just want to be clear with our community and that we've been working on AI for 3.5 years. We've given board updates around AI and technology, and that, you know, St. Vrain, not to take anything away from St. Vrain, and I think going to the AI Summit's a good idea, but anything we can learn from anyone I think is wonderful and it helps us out. But I just want to be clear that it's not that we don't understand AI or its importance. It's that we've prioritized other things ahead of AI, which is our strategic plan. And we haven't leaned in on AI as a key lever of our strategic plan other than the use of Magic School to date. After early reviews of doing some other deeper, more potentially focused ideas, we decided to go that route. And I think that we've sped up implementation in our schools around that. So I do think it's a good idea, and I'm happy to connect anybody with the folks and team over at St. Vrain. But I would say that we have done some work, right? It's not our headline, right? But certainly AI is being used in our schools. I do think that the difference that maybe other districts who've gotten ahead of us on this work is they just really clarified its role in education, what it is, what it isn't, what you can use, what you can't use. We've left that up to schools and teachers as opposed to a system-wide statement around that. And we do have teams working on it. So, I think that it's a good idea to go to that. And just to be clear with our community, we've been working on it more behind the scenes than maybe on the front page.
So my cue is Deanne and then Elenia and then Nicole. And I'd also love some clarity, and then Jason, some clarity around your preference on Rob's option about doing it during a study session or doing a daytime meeting. Deanne, go ahead.
I would really like to know what the updates are. So if somebody can help me locate those, because I'm not aware of the board updates that were done on AI before, that would help me not be in the dark. And I'd like to know more about what's happening behind the scenes and who's working on it. Because if there's experts working on it, that's great. I feel like our community, both the teaching community and the parents of students that are trying to use this technology, kind of need a vision statement. And maybe you've already done that, and I just am not aware of it. A vision statement like, while we've invested in expanding the use of technology to help students for 30 years, and we probably will still continue to do that. So we're not going to just cut off technology, but just letting people know our direction is to make sure that our educational technology is up to the highest standards to help kids succeed.
I saw Laura take notes to provide that additional information that you requested. Rob, you were shaking your head that there is at present no vision statement on AI.
No, I think that, that's what we accomplish in, you know, getting the feedback input next directions and having the board shape that, which is why I'm really starting to think we're going to need more than an hour.
Great. Lilania?
I was going to ask for something similar to Deanne. I'd love in news and notes just to know what we currently do. Because as a layperson, I'm not going to have a lot of input anyway. I'm not going to know that much about it. So if I understand all the things we're doing and the people that are working on it, and, you know, I think that that's part of the misconception for our community is that we're doing nothing, and that's not true. And I know that that's not true, but I just love to be able to speak to people about, well, here's what I know we're doing. And I also appreciate that it's not a headline for us. We have many other headlines that are better than that, but I would love to just understand it. But I don't need it in a, even in a, I think the benefit of a public session is somebody can come and sit and watch, and that's great. And I'd say the morning one would be probably, I could probably handle 3 hours of it, though I'm going to understand 20 minutes.
Nicole.
So I would propose that we make it a work session on the 21st. Like you said, I was looking at the 21st date with the UIP. I thought that was the date you suggested. Either way, a work session. And I do think, and what I was going to say before Rob threw that out there was, I do think there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lack of clarity around what we are doing. And I will say the team has been working on it. We have a technology committee that meets with district staff. One of the people that show up at our board meetings regularly happens to sit on that committee. So when they say nothing is happening, and I look at Lynn like, hey, did that person go to your meeting today? Yep, sure did. So I think having a public meeting will help. And I think that starting with where are we and what are we doing and what is our, and then going into what do we want it to be? Because I don't think we should have a common understanding. And that's what I was saying. It wasn't like putting guardrails, like we're not going to talk about it, but being clear to the community, if we talk about it on March, whatever, it's not like we're going to have a decision on AI policy or we're going to do something, have this opinion about One2Web, but we're going to like talk about where we are, how we want to get to where we want to be, and not like there's sense of urgency that I feel in the community right now that it's not typically how we work. So that's, I would propose a longer daytime session. I would propose that, and then like wherever that works. And then we can, again, punt those school visits if that doesn't make sense and put the strategic plan on the May 19th. I think our community would be best served that way. News and notes is not something that our community can see. And then we can all ask those questions to make sure we're all on the same page. So when we go talk to the community, we can reference that meeting on a consistent way.
Let's hear from Jason. And then Rob, it looks like you have a thought.
I don't remember why I originally wanted to talk, but I think I agree with all these comments, you know, particularly Alex's comment about kind of the large, you know, needing a bigger discussion about this. And so if that's a work session during the day, that's better. But I think, you know, I want to make sure this is not seen as like a criticism of the district or of anyone's leadership or work. I think this is changing so fast. And, you know, we had our last update a year ago, and you think about the technology has changed on AI, not even the other topics we're talking about. And I think the challenge is, you know, government, school board structures are just not set up for responding to these kinds of things quickly. And so wanting to as others have asked, kind of know all the things that are happening and are ongoing and probably happening on a daily basis would help us, but also, you know, making sure we're sharing that publicly so people know that it's not, oh, the board talked about it in 2024, so we're good until 2026. And I think that's not the case, but that's the perception. But I think that, you know, I don't want this to come across as any kind of anything critical of Rob or anyone's work. I know people are working on this. It's just, it's a totally, and I have no experiences either. I think it's just a technology that's not, you know, and our government structures are just not set up for responding to something that's changing as quickly and as rapidly, and where the kids are way ahead of us on some of this stuff. And so I think it's just, this is new territory for all of us. And I think trying to figure out how we structure a conversation or make decisions around that is probably needs different kind of thinking as well. And so just to add to all of our everyone else's points on that. But I want to make sure that's not seen as, this is not seen as anything critical of the work you're doing, Rob.
So I think we're narrowing in on a plan, Jorge, Alex, and then Rob, I think we're pretty close. Alex, sorry, I'm like, Alan, what the hell was that? Stay drinking.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm in favor of doing the daytime session, three-hour session, do a deeper dive, getting a baseline of where we're at, and then make some directional for moving forward. My only concern is pushing the strategic plan further back. I know DAC is involved in that. If we don't discuss it till the 19th, will they be able to provide feedback and be a part of that process? Just keep that front of mind.
Alex?
I totally support the longer work session. I understand the work that entails on all ends. And I really appreciate Jason's point on, again, this, I don't think this is a critique. I think this is it's a structural thing of something that is so potentially transformative, anxiety provoking, can be divisive, people with very different positions on it. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure our students and staff are dealing with it in a ton of really intelligent ways and sometimes not so well. And I don't anticipate that we're going to come down with a let's not use AI or let's all use AI all the time decision from the board. But that's where I'm like, we do need guardrails to understand what's happening and to be able to continue to deal with it. So I appreciate everybody's point. I don't want to do too much, but I certainly think we need, we would have three productive hours to hear from people about even just what's happening.
Rob, I hear three steps maybe in this journey on AI. Thing one is make sure all the board members have updates of what you're doing that's already underway. Thing two, you might want to further clarify in your one-on-ones with board members what their specific expectations and needs are in this conversation. And then I do hear convergence around a daytime work session. Is that what you're hearing?
A statement, then a question. Mm-hmm. And board members, I apologize. I may be overly sensitive on this, but I'll explain to you why. I have a very good reason. When I got here in 2018, our district had a set of guiding innovative principles. We were building these innovative schools, right? You've toured some that have converted, that were built in a way that maybe weren't ever fully leveraged around this innovative idea. And it's stuff that we had to unwind so we could resource schools appropriately, have a coherent curriculum, invest in the right things. And I get really maybe overly sensitive. I'll admit this around things that folks want us to do that take away our focus from the work that we're doing that's been successful. And I grab onto that focus relentlessly, because you can have a strategy and no focus. And if you have a strategy and no focus, you're not going to make the type of progress we've made. So I apologize if I am coming across as defensive or a little sensitive to this technology topic. I agree. We do need to work and we do need to clarify. But maybe that's, if you're picking up on like a sensitivity from me around that, that's what it is. Because it's unwinding that was no fun. Because I had really good people in really good positions, and I had to eliminate those positions and invest in our network structure and invest in curriculum and invest in some stuff that might not be headline grabbing until you get the results, which are then headline grabbing. Some of the stuff that isn't, you know, doesn't get you, you know, on the front page of the paper, that doesn't get you into chalk beats or the other things that maybe where these things grab headlines. The headlines that I want us to grab as a district are more kids are doing better, getting exactly what they need. And so apologies. So question, I'm hearing, which I agree with, this work session, should we do the 21st or should we change the 24th to a work session? So then adding an additional work session and leaving the one with the strategic plan update is the clarification I need mm-hmm. for us to move forward.
Can you just say a few more words, Rob, about the consequences if you just sort of replace the strategic plan conversation? Like, I hear some questions about what does that mean for board conversation on the strategic plan and DAC feedback and all the things.
Well, when we say it's our biggest priority and we don't talk about it, right, our mm-hmm. actions don't line up with what it is that we say. Mm-hmm. That's just, I mean, I think we could sprinkle it in, but the deep dive, so you get a feel for the work, right, I think are really important. So my preference would be to hold this and move the 24th to a work session. I don't think that there's, I think it'll be okay. It's right when we're coming back from spring break, right? So probably a good time to do that.
Mm-hmm. I see several folks nodding along. Nicole has a question or clarification.
I just have a clarification. So are you saying on the 24th, we have a morning work session and an evening board meeting? Or are you saying we have one big work session and everything gets shifted back and the calendar, like mm-hmm. so all your weeks kind of, or are we just taking that whole March 24th items and we're plopping them somewhere else? I'm just trying to understand what that means by having it on the 24th.
Yeah, that's what I suggest, is that we have AI update on the 24th already. We have ECE childcare update, which was prioritized. And so we can push this earlier or later, mm-hmm. right? I want to check with the team. And then there's only two policies here, and we could push those earlier or later, but I'll have to talk to Kathleen. But I don't think you have to do both in a day. I think that you could actually probably consolidate that
into a single work session during the day.
And it would buy us another night as we're thinking about community engagement around mm-hmm. declining enrollment. That might help us.
And one more clarification, board members. When we updated that board policy on board meetings, they're all regular meetings now. So we don't have to work in those confines. So we could do a big meaty topic and a smaller topic in a morning session, like a smaller information item, and have that sort of be a board meeting. And then I would say, one benefit of if it works with your staff on the ECE being a little bit later is as this, what they might run or the districts, as those take shape, there's some moving around early childhood, how that might be funded and how that might look differently. Like the later might be beneficial for us to understand what the county and different stakeholders are planning. So that could actually work in our favor to have more information if it mm-hmm. was moved later.
Mm-hmm. Alex, thought on that?
Mm-hmm. I just want to, I'm frequently the source of new ideas of things that are distracting to Rob and his team. So I'm comfortable that that's a role I play. And I am always welcoming the kick under the table and, you know, the chance to say, hey, you're distracting from job one. So I'm all about job one. And that is the stuff you've done. And I totally see the payoff of keeping the focus is what allows us to make things different for kids. So I'm all on board. And again, I don't mean this as a criticism. The reason I'm interested in the AI and technology is that, again, I think we're dealing with a distraction in the schools. And so how much can we do our new curriculum if a teacher is going to magic school and creating a new curriculum lesson that may or may not be tied to it? Like, there's just a lot going on with it. So I think it's, the first thing we need to do is to know, and to also know how it might be undermining or helping the job one on improving our schools and performance. So that's where I'm coming from. I don't know what the solution is. I'm not advocating more of it. I'm not advocating less of it. I just think it's highly impactful and can be in the schools a distraction to that job one, which for me remains, I'm always happy to be kicked under the table and say, Alex, not now.
So Anna, you're the closest one, so we'll all give you a signal when it's time to give him a kick, and that if you don't mind, like, just but we'll let you know. That's right. Rob, it looked like when Nicole was talking, you were moving some things around that we might want to know what happened there.
Yeah, I can move the ECE childcare update to May. That actually helps a lot, and I think that if everybody's okay, I can take these two policies put them tentatively on the next meeting, Kathleen, until we talk. Can take these things off the board.
Which doesn't mean not do them, it just means you'll reallocate them as time allows.
Well, these are just regular business.
Got it.
And put this here. And then AI tech update, March 24th, daytime meeting.
Cool. All
so right. For those of you watching at home wondering why the board prioritization process works really, really well.
This is it.
There you go.
And for anyone who ever hears me bragging about Rob and his cool board, which I do all the time to all these other people, this is why. Fantastic. All right. So, Rob, if I'm checking on our prioritized list here, it sounds like we've found places for the AI strategy technology update, which was our highest priority. You just moved, but it stayed on the board, the ECE universal child care update. That one you pressed back a little bit. Why don't you keep moving through and tell us where we are? But before we do that, I see folks popping up. Board members, do you need a break before we move on? Yep. Okay. How about we take five? Comfort break? Fantastic. 5-minute comfort break. See you back here in a minute. And then Rob will resume the journey of the semester. Rob, you were in the middle of taking us through a journey there, darling. Where are we?
Journey.
Halfway
there. Okay. Thank you all, board members, for your flexibility on the 24th. we've moved that around. On April 14th, I have a work session placeholder for UIP. I actually do need to go back to our team to see when that would make sense to have that. So if I have to move UIP around a little bit, maybe I would move that with a board policy IGA if it needs to be earlier. And I could move it with this Grad Plus update on pathways if it has to be later. So those three may switch. Your prelim budget's coming April 14th. And for board members, just a reminder that that's when things start to get really serious from the budget process. We present a budget, we'll be in the throes of negotiations, much of negotiations contingent on if there's any new dollars that need to be spent, although we've had preliminary discussions with BVA to just keeping this on policy and rules versus dollars, just because we know the situation. Between April and May 26th is just, it's a little more, just a busier time. Policies, April 21st, strategic plan update. 28th, Grad Plus update on high school pathways and communications plan. More of a, hey, look, as we go into next year, here are the pathways, here are the new pathways. Let's highlight APEX. Let's talk about all the things we're doing with CLEP testing and with Grad Plus. And we have certainly expanded opportunities for all kids. I do think the concern is that folks still don't know that we're doing that. And so we'll do a little work session on that. We'll share kind of where we are, maybe some new ideas moving forward, a sustainability update per board policy, and then some other policies. May 12th, we'll start my superintendent evaluation process. Board members, as a reminder, in my mid-year evaluation, you have my goals. I gave you progress on my goals. Before May 12th, I will give you a summary of the work that I've done to date on those goals, along with some context on the things we've accomplished throughout the course of the year. Legislative session recap scheduled for May 12th, and then this ECE childcare update that I moved. Thank you, Nicole. On May 19th, we may do school visits. We may not do school visits. We'll keep that as a placeholder we'll just keep that as a placeholder. The 26th, SUP eval again, an exec session, declining enrollment update, OE deep dive programming and trends. By May, we'll have the most complete data on who left, who came, where did folks want to go? I think that gives us enough time. CBOC update, which we may move to an executive summary if we need to, but you probably are going to want that because of all of the bond work that's happening over the summer. I wouldn't want to take that away. Proposed budget for study on the 9th, superintendent's honor roll, self-home policy update. We'll be able to give you kind of a synopsis of all of our discipline data, all of our kind of, you know, capture kind of how that's gone, adopt the budget. And as long as we've adopted the budget, we'd cancel the June 23rd meeting. And on June 16th, we'd prioritize all over again.
Question, Lania.
So it was a work session on April 28th that we're addressing high school pathways and communicating opportunities. Is that correct?
So, Rob, it sounds like if the board makes no other adjustments to the schedule that you just outlined, you would still have time for that second round of school visits in May and the top six highest ranked items for board priorities. Is that right?
Yes. And I would say that these other items we put in the queue, right, for potentially reprioritization, but I think that we're probably, even though they weren't the highest priority, I think that there's a lot of consensus around all of these things. I don't, maybe there's a couple down towards the bottom that folks don't feel are as important. I do feel like Safe Schools Coalition is important. I feel like what's happening and what I see is going to be on the ballot in 2026. We need to restart our supports. I'm actually meeting with the folks at Rocky Mountain Equality next week with Kathleen to talk about, just to kind of just check in. So I think that is something we could see some traction. Board policy KH is a big one. That's just going to take, I don't think we could touch it. Not that it's not important. Housing and living affordably. I continue to have conversations with folks interested in that. I'm not ready to propose something. I think that to work on that is also a lot of work that would take me away from this other work. Just don't think we're there yet. Senate Bill 25-276. I think I heard you all and saw you all loud and clear when Richard Garcia came to our board meeting around the support of that. We've done some additional communications. I think that we continue to just keep our eye on that. And if something happens in the country or in our community that leads us to believe that we need to do something faster around that, it's not a lot of work because we'll just tell you all the things that we're doing and committing to keeping our immigrant students safe. So we can dial that up as needed. And then the e-bike safety is just going to take a lot of coordinating, and it's going to be the ops team, and they just don't have the bandwidth. No, and I do think it's a good idea.
Okay. I see Nicole, Anna, and then Elenia.
I just want to say, I think I agree with that approach. Like, as time makes itself available, written updates where appropriate. And I think some of these things I think about a little bit, what is the timing more appropriate after we address declining enrollment? And I think policy KH is a very good example of things that people are fundraising for today are a direct result of low attendance and low ability to fund staffing positions at our under-enrolled schools. And so if we wait for KH after the dust settles for declining enrollment, conditions are going to be very different potentially for some of those things that people are asking to fundraise for or that are fundraising for, some that came out in the DAC budget report that we'll get an update on. So some of these things are just make sense to wait on, and some of them do make sense, in my opinion, for a written update or taking them as we need to take them and letting them, you know, work its way through. Declining enrollment is going to take a significant amount of board time and staff time. And I want to minimize the distractions or the tugs to go in the other places to the extent practicable, particularly as we're still trying to make significant strides on the strategic plan. So as time becomes available, I'm just seconding that thought. And I also putting a longer term pin in KH until we have a different system in place for allocating staff to schools, as just what I wanted to throw out there.
Okay. Nicole, and then, or sorry, Anna, and then Elenia, and then Alex.
I do appreciate the having that focus and really maintaining that focus for what is going to be most beneficial for all of our students. Just around the immigration supports, I do know that you have a meeting with Kathy Carlson, who has been fundraising a lot for different resources and is working with Centro Amistad to really do a lot of the on-the-ground work. And a lot of that means showing up with resources at schools. And so I do want to make sure that we are still highlighting that we are still supporting that connection, because they are doing a lot specifically for Boulder County, a lot of fundraising, a lot of resource investments. But I do want to make sure that we are also just as supportive and as involved as we can be.
Elenia?
When I look at our list that, you know, we can't put everything there, particularly supporting our immigrant population and Safe Schools Coalition, I feel that we do a lot of those things. And I also feel like they can become flashpoints where we don't need them to be right now, because we are doing the right things and we don't need to be in the news about doing the right things. So I would suggest on those two, if we could have an update just on news and notes so that we understand everything that we're doing. And then if we could, all of us who have those connections, be sure that we're going back into our communities, because I certainly have some contact with some folks from the LGBTQ community who I meet with regularly, and just continuing to have those meetings and let people know how we're supporting. I would like to do that. So I would ask for those updates for board members, just in news and notes, and if, or some other method, whatever, Rob, you think appropriate. And the same with neurodiversity and Sundance. I care about those things, and I'd love to know more of what you know, but I don't, any method you give that to me, if you send it to me, I will read it. And I heard you loud and clear on the other things, e-bike safety. If we have an update on, is the city of Boulder doing anything? I mean, they're really who needs to do something about it. So we could talk to them. And yeah, I can call up the mayor because he and I have a good relationship. And then high school advisory update. The one thing I wondered is, do we, and this once again could be news and notes, do we have somebody like McCluskey letting other principals know what good advisory looks like?
Anything you want to clarify on that before we jump to other board members? Oh, great. Fantastic. Thank you. I have Alex and then Jason and then Jorge and then Deanne, if you want to jump in just for funsies. Go ahead, Alex.
First off, I just want to say, in general, that when we are dealing with our vulnerable populations that are particularly vulnerable in this environment, I think our first principle needs to be, what are we doing that's best for those students and families? And that's a calculation that has to be tactical in this environment. So I want us to make sure, I appreciate figuring out how we know about everything and figuring out how we communicate what we need to parents, and also having job one be protecting the student population. And I defer to district leadership for figuring out how to manage that task. Another thing I'd say, and this is similar to the AI thing, where I'm trying to figure out how something that's an unavoidably important issue is addressed without distracting staff and leadership and school people more than possible. And so I find in these sort of initiatives, and I've dealt with initiatives and programs and grant-funded stuff and for a long time, going to somebody else's train is easier than building and driving your own train. So if we want to deal with e-bikes, I totally agree, it's the city. Let's officially get somebody who's tasked to be the liaison to the city's e-bike program, and then we can bring the district lens to that. I feel the same thing is true for several of our vulnerable population coalitions. So to the extent that we can leverage our personal relationships as leaders in the community, as well as the districts to do that, I think that's great. So I think it's, for some of these things, it's figuring out how we figure out who's liaising enough and be a little strategic about it, and then finding the place for people to come back and talk to the board, like during board member report outs during the meetings. So I just think some of this we don't have to own, while we can own our responsibility to participate in it, and then we can stay on our focus. I don't know how to do that systematically, but there's several, like the e-bike's a classic example. We need to figure out how to plug into the city's program on this. We're not, I've always been frustrated. I live on a very busy street next to Fairview. And every time you try to figure out why high school kids are trying to get to and from somewhere at lunch break at 40 miles an hour, the city's response is, yeah, we don't own the streets. The kids are got their own license, and that's going to happen. Yeah.
Great. Thanks. Jason?
Yeah, I agree with the plan here and the comments. I wanted to bring up Sundance because I think I raised that. I also raised some other things too. And in the context of some of these issues, it seems a little frivolous to like talk about a film festival when you're talking about supporting vulnerable populations. And I don't actually care that we have a, you know, a board presentation on that. I do think I want to just make sure, and I know you're working on it, just that I have confidence in that, but it is a really unique opportunity for this community, you know, both in terms of opportunities for our kids and learning and teachers, and also as in this larger conversation we're having about budgets and decline enrollment in an enormous, I would imagine, revenue opportunity. And so I just don't want to lose sight of that. It's not at all important in the context of these other issues, but I think it's an opportunity that I just want to make sure we're updated on and that people are working on, and that, you know, that we're taking advantage of in the you know, best for our students and teachers in our community, because it is, you know, it is a film festival, but we're the only community in the country that has that here. And so wanting to make sure we maximize that, but I wanted to just kind of add some context there because it just seems a little, when I saw that, I was a little embarrassed. I was like, oh, you know, this is not the same caliber of other things we're dealing with, but it is, you know, in the context of everything else, it still is important. And I think unique opportunity for us to you know, make sure we're on top of it.
Thanks, Jason. Jorge.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you, Rob, for deftly handling a very long list and a very busy calendar and helping us prioritize, you know, what needs to be addressed now, to reiterate Nicole's point. I think, you know, some of these things you have to be strategic about and see what goes, what comes first and what things can address after we've made decisions. I think once we've had this declining enrollment conversation towards the end of the spring, things are going to change, right? And we'll have to be ready to kind of adapt and maybe address some of these issues down the line on that. So I appreciate that and really keeping the focus on the strategic plan of the UIP and making sure that we're serving all of our students. As a part of that, we do have vulnerable populations. I think we have to keep an eye on that. And it's important for the board members overall to kind of know what we're doing as a district. I know we're doing a lot of stuff already. We've had a lot of conversations about that. And so just keeping us informed and doing the news and notes and through those other venues, and then keeping, you know, our ear to the community, understand kind of where the needs are at and what, how issues are arising, is really important, and make sure that people are communicating with us as well. So thank you for that.
Thanks so much. Deanne?
I really have a question, but I'll put it out. The high school advisory update, when I read that as a former teacher, to me it seemed like it was a contract issue and not just what we want to do. So I'd like to, I really understand what's going on. And it's very difficult to recruit good teachers to do that program. It's incredibly difficult. So I want to make sure that that we're identifying the root problem of why they don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Nicole?
So board members, if I had internet connection right now, I would have looked this up, but I have heard that there might be an e-bike related bill coming through the legislature with a, you know, $0 fiscal note, because
those are popular.
It's coming up across the states. So something, and it might be something, as I'm trying to recall, to do with insurance and how families are insuring those or not insuring those at different levels. And so there is some state level, and I know as we fold fingers at Boulder, the city of Boulder, like there might be something even higher that's going to trickle down and impact everybody. So it could be something we can talk to our delegation about. But as that one, and I know there are other states across the country that are trying to grapple with this, because it's a really big issue, not just a small city based issue. And then, yes, I added the advisory, and it is because with our new bell schedule, some schools newly have advisory. The places that did have advisory, it's operated differently. So like, how is it going? Was its intention not like a contractual? And we can totally wait, and it could be something that's written. And I know, like, you know, it's when done well, it can be really really beneficial for students. So that was its intention. Mm-hmm. It can, you know, as dust settles and as you continue to get more information also, because we haven't even, some of these schools haven't even been, it's not even been implemented for a year yet. And so it might also be premature on that one. And I know that with master schedules, things just are shifting again. Like it could be one of those things that later is potentially better, but I would leave that up to Dr. Anderson. Just wanted to share those. Alex.
Yeah, I want to speak to two things. One is, I think that the high school advisory is, in many respects, follow on to the mental health concerns that many of us on the board have talked about, and that's a big priority. But it's also another one of those issues where I feel like our efforts to understand how well our mental health programs are working, I don't have good insight into that still. I don't know if we have the right partners to figure that out. So for me, the high school advisory is a contract issue, it's a personnel issue, but it's also a suicide prevention issue and a student engagement and happiness issue that I don't know how well it's working and what degree it's being implemented. So I think it has potential, and that's why I still want to know about it. I don't know that we need to have a policy or governing discussion as much about it as learn about it somehow. And I don't know how to do that, honestly.
I will say I'm a big fan of offloading stuff that's complicated. So like if we can get on the city's e-bike thing or, and know what the legislature is doing better than us doing it. And that if we can, several of these issues, we can sort of go to somebody else. There's another way for districts to deal with complicated stuff, and that is to do a modest contract for somebody else to come back to us and do some work that's not Rob's team. Mm-hmm. I think on the housing for staff is one of those issues where a side contract or somebody else with foundation money could be tasked to come back to us in 6 months with a report that informs us. It's a written product. We can read it. Rob can and his team can look at it, see how it complements, but somebody else can do it. And I know that through the Keystone Policy Center and some of their connections, there's districts have been having similar sort of like just studies of what's possible. And it's not like it's, to be honest, at scale and meaningfully, it's not about taking our school facilities and building five houses. That just doesn't work with 4,000 employees. But there's districts out there buying apartment buildings and providing 400 units to staff. I think we could do a tenth of our staff with some of those strategies. So given how much that's an issue for recruitment and how much we want to recruit younger teachers and stuff in the long run, I think that's pretty not a bad thing to offload to someone else to research and study and give us a preliminary report that maybe 6 months from now we'd have some bandwidth and it might be opportunistic to learn about it later without Rob and his team having to do much.
Lots of things there, Rob. You want to start with that last one, and then maybe we could just go through these remaining items, and you can tell us what you heard and how the board can expect or not expect to hear back from you.
Thank you, Heather. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate your attention and engagement in what's a really, I think, collaborative process. So thank you. To Alex's point, I think that for those of you who know me, you know I'm not a micromanager, right? I believe in hiring really good people, supporting them, delegating, and being by their side as they take on work. I think that the challenge sometimes is when you use contractors or you use third-party folks is that somebody's got to mind the store while that work happens. Otherwise, when the work gets to you, it's not going to be what you thought it might be. And so so there's a balance, right? I'm not saying no, but I am saying it's not free bandwidth, right? Because every time, whether it's Kathleen hiring, outsourcing legal, whether it's our academics team outsourcing some things, we're looking at some homeschool things and some other options as we're trying to really, we're looking at help to getting some help around declining enrollment. Lots of check-in meetings, right? Anybody who's doing work for you wants to make sure they're hitting the target. So it's like, okay, check in, feedback. And, you know, whether it's Renee Crown or all these other, like, those things do take some time. I do appreciate I appreciate what everybody said. I feel like as the semester unfolds, I'll know and understand how many of these secondary items I'll be able to give attention to. I can say with a good amount of confidence that we can make sure that we get updates to the board in writing somehow, some way on 95% of these things throughout the course of the semester. And board members, at your one-on-one check-ins, if you want a deeper dive on any topic that is on this list that you don't know what's happening, that is one of the purposes of those meetings, is for me to give you information or follow-up information to you. And as a reminder, if you ask for it, I'm going to give it to everybody, because that's the way that should go. And typically that it does end up in news notes. So I feel really good. I feel good about our board. I feel like it's going to be super busy. I will say, board members, as we are bracing ourselves, I would ask you to brace yourselves as well. I mean, we are looking at 40 to 50 meetings where it would be my preference that I was accompanied by board members. The board is in a listening position during this process. So when we bring recommendations, you'll be able to say with confidence you've heard our community, you understand the issues. So that is also something that I want to prepare everybody for. Now, I know we're busy and some folks have more time than others and some will have to engage more than others. But a good equal representation of board members as we go through these meetings, and whether they're meetings at night with community groups, whether they're and we'll make sure that we'll talk about that when we come present on the 27th. But that is an overlay. This will be the busiest semester for those of you who have been on the board. This will be your busiest semester as part of an elected official. Deanne and Anik, welcome. This is good. This, of course, is going to be your busiest semester you've ever spent as a board member because it's your first. But other than that, really appreciate you all. Happy to hear any closing comments, thoughts, or clarifications from you, Heather.
Board, final thoughts? Good conversation this year, yeah? New friends, pleasure to meet you. Love to hear the additional value that you're adding to the conversation. Alex, something you want to add before we break?
I was just thinking of a procedural thing. Mm-hmm. In terms of our existing agenda that could efficiently deal with some of this liaising with the outside groups, is when we have the board member reporting, we can just remember that is a good opportunity to talk about that liaison. For those of us who try to hold ourselves accountable for, like, I'm going to work with this group, I'm going to be there for them, I will be present and here, think about yourself as a representative and bringing that stuff back to the board. So it's not just coming back to the board and being annoyed that we haven't done something. It's like you telling us about it is some of the powerful thing we can do that someone else will leverage. So it's on us as board members to use that time to update people on some of the substance and the strategy of our relationships with other initiatives outside.
Love that. Thanks. Nicole, seeing no other hands, I'll hear your thoughts and then you can close us out.
And always as a reminder, if you are liaising with other groups as a board member and not as an individual, you shall represent the interests of the entire board and the school district in those conversations. So please remember, it's not about individual opinions. And it is great, thank you, Alex, that making sure we're all aware that those things are happening. Mm-hmm. So yes, and when we work together, we are working together. So I will say also that we still have some business to do after that prioritization, including, Kathleen, are you going to give an update on some of the policy, the backside of the board, or no? I know you're moving things, but I wasn't sure if that was part of the plan, but we do need to do community assignments as well. So we're almost done, but we're not quite there yet.
I would say I went back to Wink Martindale mode here. I was aging myself a little bit. As you leave, board members, if you want to look at the back of the board, you will be able to see your progress on board policy. Look at all that green. And all those down on the bottom, those are no longer policies.
Nice.
50 retired, significant, unheralded, right, work that as a board you have done to create a meaningful and manageable set of policies that help clarify the work, set expectations, and guide the school district. So again, thank you so much. And with that, I'll turn it over to Nicole because we do have to talk about board responsibilities, roles, to close this out.
And for those of you that haven't seen the backside before, red, yellow, green, Kathleen, it used to be lots of red and there's so little red, it's awesome. But do you want to let the folks know what those colors stand for?
Sure, just basic stoplight. Red typically means that it is something identified by staff as having a conflict with recently passed legislation or just being seriously out of step with our practices. Yellow means it is something that is ready to go to the board. We've got a red line prepared, so just a small handful of those. Black is slated for retirement, and green means that it has been recently reviewed and remains current.
Awesome. I don't have internet, and so you guys are going to help me remember this list of board. I think I know them all. CBOC, LRAC, DAC, CASB, and Audit Committee. So the last time, every 2 years, board members, we kind of go through and do new committee assignments. There are board policy dictates which committees are board advisory committees, which committees are superintendent advisory committees. The last couple news and notes gave an outline of which ones were which. So today we will assign the board advisory committee roles. 2 years ago I did this starting with the newest board members and ending with folks that have role like president, vice president, and treasurer. So I will do that again. Raise your hand if you need a reminder on what all of these committees do. Okay, so I'm going to call on the people that are currently on those. Jorge, do you want to give a quick overview, unless Laura can read the document on CBOC? You did. Okay. Laura can read them then, because my computer's not working. Anna.
I do have a question. As we were going through the presentations with some of the directors, there was like a budget committee. Is that one on here?
Yes. So the audit committee is overseen by, is the treasurer is the chair of the audit committee, and then there's one additional board member who serves on that audit committee role. So that will be on the list that Laura is going to go through right now.
Okay.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay. Community Bond Oversight Committee, CBOC. The CBOC was created to monitor bond issues supported by the BVSD voters. CBOC provides independent review of the projects that comprise any bond program and are set forth in a plan approved by the Board of Education. Board members attend meetings, not as a voting member, and relay any information back to the board. Meetings occur in the evening, at least quarterly, but no more than monthly, and the reference policy is BDFE.
So that's CBOC. The next one is LRAC.
Long Range Advisory Committee, LRAC. This committee advises the Board of Education on matters related to declining enrollment and long-term facility decisions. Board members attend meetings, not as a voting member, and relay any information back to the board. Approximately 4 evening meetings per year, and that reference is board policy BDFF.
Audit Committee.
The audit committee member attends quarterly audit meetings with the board treasurer and others to review the following: quarterly financial documents, debt issuance, and financial policies before these items come to the entire board. Meetings are scheduled based on calendar availability of committee members. Meetings often occur during the daytime in February, May, November, and one more. And the reference policy is DIEA.
DAC.
The District Accountability, also known as DAC. The District Accountability Committee is a legally constituted accountability and advisory committee, legally constituted under both state and federal law, that allows BVSD parents to have a voice in the district's budget, improvement plans, charter applications, and more. Board members provide a monthly update written with each agenda and a very brief verbal report during the meeting, and are available to answer questions. Many occur September to May on the first Tuesday of the month from 6:15 to 8 p.m. or 8:30.
Yeah.
As well. Okay. And the reference policy is policy AE and regulation AE-R.
And the last committee assignment is the CASB delegate. It's not in board policy, but the Colorado Association of School Boards asked that you assign one member to be the voting member at CASB's business meetings. And so not in our board policy, but an important role nonetheless. And Laura can read the little blurb on that.
CASB delegates convene every fall during CASB's fall conference and every December during CASB's annual convention. During the fall meeting, delegates adopt CASB's advocacy agenda through resolutions on issues critical to public education. Board members represent the board's opinion on any of the resolutions and may have to advocate on behalf of BVSD priorities.
So all of these committees are outstanding ways to engage with our constituents, engage with the broader community. It's a really great way for us to also learn a little bit more about what's happening in the district. And so in each of these, again, listening, we're not voting, we're representing the board. I'm asking on behalf of some of these different committees that board members are really careful with how much time they're spending talking versus listening, and less talking is better. We're there to understand and observe. So I'm just passing that along because it was passed along to me. So with that, we will go first two new board members, and then we'll go alphabetical order, but the three of us that have been assigned, we go last. Fair? Fair. Okay, so Deanne, do you have a desire to serve on any one of those five committees?
I would choose probably the CBOC. Yeah, over the others. Some of them I have time constraints that aren't, it's just not conducive to me being a member of.
Perfect. Anna?
The Audit Committee.
Jorge? Melania?
Casby?
It's actually quite fun, particularly when you have to fight with your neighbors at St. Vrain over very, you know, touchy issues around who gets to count towards graduation rates and who doesn't. It can be. And if you don't, there are only five assignments. So if you don't.
I do serve on Athletic Review and Title IX. So if somebody else would like to be CASB, I always have opted out of DAC because of the service on those other two, but that was when I was doing audit. Yeah. So I am at your service.
Okay. And I will clarify, Title IX Advisory Committee is technically a Superintendent's Advisory Committee because Lelania used to serve in that committee. She has helped, she has sort of helped bridge a transition there, but that is not typically a board advisory committee. And then with the Athletic Review Committee, we have never actually approved that as a board approved committee. There's a weird long story about how people thought it was a committee and then there was no policy that actually, or it is a committee, but there was not a board policy that deemed it a board advisory committee that will have to come back to us because it's currently sitting in a red line. At some point, we have to decide how to move forward with that one. But for our new board members, that's why they weren't on the list.
That, since we're talking about things not on the list, is it possible for me to switch to be with the tech committee?
Oh, also not an a board advisory committee. People can, again, up to two board members can observe public meetings. I know that has happened with our equity council in the past. And, but that's, those are the delineation. And we just have to have some conversations around how do board members attend or show up at superintendent advisory committees? Cause you are kind of coming in a, they're different. They're differently assigned, but we can come back to that one. We can loop back on that one.
To clarify, President Rajpal, I am at your service.
It's your call.
I'll pass to my fellow board members and I'll do whatever anybody else doesn't want to do.
Great. So then the next one would be Alex and Jason, if you guys have any, I mean, as far as, I don't really know how to go through these time constraints or level of, you know, interest, but if either of you, I know Jason is the current CASB delegate, if you no longer wish to do that, that is entirely fair. You can make that known because 2 years is at, our commitment is 2 years, and I don't want to saddle you with something that you don't want to do. And then the other one available is DAC. So we've got two left, DAC and CASB, at the will of the rest of us, at the will, at your will.
Jason. Jason can tell you what I'm gonna have to do.
Melania will do CASB. That sounds lovely. Thank you, Lelania. So then, Alex, Jason, DAC, Alex?
I'm interested and able to serve on the DAC, but I understand that, and I look forward to not talking very much there, because it seems like they are really hitting it on all cylinders, and we want to encourage and support that. But I think it's a great way to learn a lot more about what's going on. So I'd like to be there.
You don't wish for CASB?
I'm glad to offer strategic advice on CASB. I think at different times it can be a very powerful thing to do. And other times they're working on stuff where we're going to be outliers anyway, so our influence is limited. In the past, I will say we have had, between Kathy and Stacy, former board members, they played incredible leadership roles in the organization and leveraged it to great effect for our
for the state and for Boulder. And at this point, CASB has been less than helpful to a lot of BVSD's interests and agenda. So some defense might be in order at CASB, and playing a role in it, if you're going to do it, rather than being one of 300 votes, I think it's worth doing to really probably play defense in terms of CASB's endorsements. But they'll also be endorsing big budget stuff and have a lot of conservative rural districts involved. So it's kind of a big deal or not, is the way I think about CASB. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, board members. Committees have been assigned. Jason, you will have to attend those quarterly audit meetings, so you will have some extra meetings there, which is exciting. And then just know, because Jason and I do not have additional committees, we can help fill in as needed for sure if there are things you cannot attend. So reach out on that one. And board members, thank you for your willingness to help continue to engage with the community on these really important board advisory topics. With that, our business for today is concluded. And I will make a motion to adjourn. Thanks, everybody.
So fun. You guys are